In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this: "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are really all tremendous things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show because my special guest is an expert on closing. She's an expert on selling from the stage and just doing dynamic presentations, and her name is Jolene Moody. Let me tell you a little bit about Jolene. As I said, she is an expert breaking into the world of paid speaking and entrepreneurship. She is a former TV reporter and anchor turned transformational speaker, author, and business consultant. She practices the art of being brave, I love that, and kicking fear in the face. This after struggling with addiction, two devastating losses through death, and absolute self-loathing. So we'll find out a little bit about that, hopefully. Jolene works with entrepreneurs to help them guide them to a place where they can incorporate their purpose-driven message to write a kick-butt presentation and book speaking gigs and generate cash and high-paying clients. Jolene, thank you so much for being my special guest on this week's episode of Stick Like Glue Radio.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No troubles. And it's finally warm because you and I were just chatting before we went on the air, and you're like up by Canada in the very upper reaches of New York, right?
I am. I am in northern New York, so it's still a bit chilly here. We're in the 30s. We had 75 last week, so that was a real treat for us.
It is a real treat. So I want to ask you before I get to some questions on kind of the topic at hand, if you could take a minute and share a little bit about your journey with my listeners, and then kind of we'll key into your entrepreneurial journey. In your opening, you know, you talked about having faced some pretty heavy-duty situations in your life. To just whatever degree you want to share, could you help us get to know you a little bit better?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very transparent about any struggles that I have gone through because I recognize we all have struggles that we go through. And I think a lot of times we don't think that we can be open or transparent about it because, frankly, people judge us because of that. So it's really a big part of who I am as a coach for entrepreneurs because I do recognize that. And let's face it, we're all struggling. I did struggle with addiction for a very long time. So for a very long time, I didn't know how to feel because I was so busy burying it. And I recognize that a lot of the people that I work with, they're struggling with different addictions too, whether it be, I mean, it doesn't even have to be alcohol or drugs. It could be food. It could be television. It could be exercise. There's always something we need to shift to or turn to numb out a little bit. So, and I do write a lot about it in my book. So when I chose to do that, I did it intentionally. It's because I want people to know we're real. And all of us have struggle. And even if we try to bury it or push it behind us, it's still there. So I try to help people even move through that when we're working.
Okay. And you also, it says you were a TV reporter and anchor. When was that?
Oh, my gosh. I always say that was in my past life, but it was actually obviously in this lifetime. I spent 10 years in local television right here in New York State, in upstate New York. And I left the television business to explore my entrepreneurial journey in 2010. And I just didn't love what I did. I loved talking to people. I loved shooting video and editing video and the conversations. But, you know, a lot of folks may agree, they may disagree. Lots of media is sensationalized, and you're really digging into people's personal lives, and that just didn't fulfill me. It didn't fill me at all. So when I made the decision to make the shift, it wasn't a difficult decision, but it sure was risky, and that's why, you know, in my intro you said I practice the art of being brave. Fear is always with you, so you have to learn how to handle it, manage it, and carry it. Lots of times it is something we create on our own, but so I just decided one day this is not what I want to do. I'm not happy. I am merely existing. I want to live. And I knew deep within me there was a big piece of me that wanted to teach, if you will. And I have no problem being up in front of people. So everything just kind of merged. And a lot of entrepreneurs, and I'm sure you can speak to this yourself, Jim, along the way, we may not know which direction we're going into. It just kind of appears. And that's kind of how it unfolded for me.
You know, it's so true about when you start a business or, I mean, even your entire journey, no matter where you are on the success journey, very often the people who achieve the highest levels of success are putting their foot out there before they even know, you know, where that foot's going to land. You know what I mean? If you're always operating in your safe zone, your comfort zone, you can see where your foot's going to go. Those are baby steps, in my opinion. So how really brave of you to kind of leave this career on television and then want to become an entrepreneur. Did you know, did you feel in your gut that this is what you wanted to do? Did you feel like a calling to do that or?
No, not at all. I think, you know, I love that you said that because you know the phrase that they use, you make the jump and the net appears. What I knew and what I realized when I was working as a reporter, there was a period of time where I stopped going to work. My mom had passed away, and I experienced what is known as delayed mourning. So 8 months after her death, I woke up one day and I looked at my husband. I said, I don't want to go to work today. And he said, okay. And that turned into 4 weeks and then 4 months. And in that time, I kind of had this, I don't know what you would call it, a spiritual transition with myself where I realized this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And I had always listened to motivational speakers or read New Thought authors and leaders. You know, all of those kinds of things really intrigued me, self-improvement books. And I thought, I want to do that. So it was one of those things that was in the back of my head. So initially, my goal was, here's the deal. I'm going to leave this gig as a reporter, and I'm going to be a speaker. And the term motivational speaker is very antiquated, but a lot of people can relate to it. So I wanted to head in that direction. I mean, I would listen to Eckhart Tolle or Les Brown or Lisa Nichols. And after I was done listening to them and taking my notes, I would stand up in my living room, and my dogs would be staring at me, but there I was presenting to them and creating my own thoughts and my own material. And I thought, this is what it's going to be. And what I did is behind my desk in my home, I put a little piece of paper, a little sticky note. And there were 5 steps that I had to accomplish, I thought, via that sticky note for me to leave the news business and go on this journey. No clue what it was like to be an entrepreneur, but I had to have a website. That was number one. Number two, I had to find these stages to speak on. I don't even remember what 3, 4, and 5 were. But I think what I was doing without realizing it was setting an intention and just slowly stepping into it. Believe me when I tell you, it wasn't something where I said, you know what, I'm going to be a business coach and I'm going to learn how to close sales and I'm going to be a speaker. It was all movement on the journey. And what appeared before me when it felt right within me, I explored it.
You know, so powerful. You said so many things there. I want to talk to you about. First of all, Les Brown. You got to be hungry. How cool is Les Brown?
I love that.
I'll share this with you. I actually fulfilled one of my bucket list items because I shared a stage with Les Brown a couple years ago.
Oh.
And him and I resonated. We're both cancer survivors, and he had me on his radio show, and I was just like, man, I was on top of the world. But I love Les. I think he's a great man, and he has influenced and just helped shape the minds of so many people. He's got a tremendous story, as you know. And the other thing I wanted to share with you with your journey, as you said, people go through challenges. I went through 15 months of unemployment and then had stage 2 melanoma. So I was kind of – and what I've learned about that period in my life, like 12 years ago, Jolene, was that was what I refer to as my season of crises. And because I went through that, you know, I think a season of crises will bring you to your knees, but then you get to experience renewal, rebirth, and rebuilding. And I think that sounds like kind of what you went through after the death of your mom.
Yeah, I broke down to breakthrough, and I've seen it appear in many different versions along this journey, which I love because I understand that, one, that's how I'm growing and I'm learning. And I never would have understood that or realized that in the beginning, right? It just, it's nothing really that resonated with me or made sense. I was someone that went to work, I clocked in, I went home. You know, so I think entrepreneurs, it really takes a special breed to understand it's such a roller coaster because you dictate it, you call the shots. And when something shows up in your life like that, there is a moment where you break down. I had actually a really rough situation kind of October through January where I was working with a mentor that it was a mess. And things were showing up that didn't make sense. They were awkward and they were uncomfortable. I couldn't decide if I was being fearful or if they just weren't resonating with me. You know what I mean? It was so unclear to me. I set up an event in California. So many things went wrong. It was this whirlwind of craziness. And I remember thinking the whole time, just see it through. See it through. Just keep going. There is an end in sight. And when you get to the end, Jolene, you will turn around and look and go, oh, my Lord, was this an education? And it made me a better coach. It made me a better person. It made me more compassionate, more patient. So there's so much value in those breakdowns, whether it's a personal struggle like you had with cancer, with addiction that I had, and then even with growing as an entrepreneur and not understanding really, you want people to function and show up in a certain way. And when they don't, sometimes it just completely takes you off guard. But it's all part of the process. And, I mean, I'm 42 years old. It's made me so much better. I couldn't have done what I'm doing now at age 30. It just simply wouldn't have happened, you know?
Yeah, it really is all the experiences we bring to the table. And the one thing I can tell about you just from the, 15 minutes we've been chatting is that you're very authentic. And I think that's what resonates most with entrepreneurs, especially when you're a coach, because there's so many people out there, smoke and mirrors, oh, look at me, life is great, you know. In a gutter and a curb, and now I live in this mansion, you know.
Yeah.
It's not authentic. And when people actually share not only, you know, some strategies and things that can help people based on their experience, but when they share it in a very real way, I think that really resonates with a lot of folks.
You know, I'm glad you said that because that's exactly what happened to me with the mentor I was working with. There wasn't an authenticity, and this may sound a little crazy, I didn't even recognize that. It was one of those situations when you pull back and you look back in, that's exactly what it was, because it was about strategy and look at all these big numbers and look at all these great things. The truth of the matter is, I personally think, and you just said this, Jim, it is kind of misleading, especially to a new entrepreneur or someone who's just busting into something like this. It's not an easy road. There's a lot of challenges. There's many times you will fall to your knees and you have a choice. You can stay down there or you can get back up. If you choose to stay down, I'll tell people I work with, stay down for a little bit. You know, if that's what it takes, stay down. But if you don't show up in 15 minutes, I'm coming in to get you and I will pull you up. You know, so I love that you're saying that. I believe so far in my journey, what I have discovered, what really, really works is the authenticity. And I think that's why I have so much success when it comes to closing a new client or closing a sale, because that truly, truly is in there.
Well, let's use that as a good transition point. Although I'm really enjoying our conversation, which was totally
great.
Unplanned, but that makes good radio. What do you think is the most important? You know, what's the most important piece, Jolene, that we have to look for when we are having a conversation with a prospective client? Because as much as we enjoy conversation, getting to know each other, expanding our contacts and all that, I mean, in reality, we are all running businesses and cash flow is king, right? So how would you talk about the most important piece that we have to look for?
You have to find their pain. And if that's the first time someone has heard that and it shocks you a little bit, let me explain. When people are struggling with something, they need a solution. And when you show up in front of them and you have the solution, the only way to understand what they truly need is to be willing to go into their pain and explore it. So here's an example of what I mean. When I was a television reporter, I was shooting this arraignment, and I got cracked in the face. I used to shoot my own video. All four television stations were there. It was a murder. It was a gang fight the night before, and this young man who punched me in the head was 15 years old. It was his aunt that had been murdered. So, you know, his anger, he happened to take it out of me, and he just cracked me in the face with it. And I remember how shocking that was to me. But I also remember having a great deal of compassion for him and understanding he was feeling pain. And it kind of woke all of these things up for me and really is something I utilize now with what I do. But the long and short of it is, let's say I'm sitting in the DMV, and I'm, because what happened when he hit me is he displaced a disc in my neck. So let's say I'm sitting in the DMV and I'm turning my neck to the left and I'm turning it to the right and I'm hurting and there's a chiropractor sitting right next to me. And the chiropractor is thinking, I can help her. I'm not going to say anything though. No, she, you know, if she needed my help, she'd ask me. But I know I can help her. No, no, who am I to say something? It is within his integrity to share with me what his solution is. And if he were in a different frame of mind, he would turn to me and say, what's going on with your neck? And I would say, oh, I got punched in the head and the C5 is out of whack. And he could say to me, I can fix that for you if you allow me. And then he adjusts me and puts me into place and then says to me, you know, tell me what you need. What is your struggle? So he's brave enough to go into my pain to ask me, what do you need? And I tell him what I need. And he tells me, you know, if you don't find a solution to this, this is going to hurt you for the rest of your life. He's not thinking money. He's thinking how he can serve me. So when you're having a conversation with someone, you have to be willing to find their pain and how can you serve them. And that's really what this whole authenticity thing is about. When I'm sitting down and I'm talking to someone, the first question I ask them, Jim, is what do you need? What is your struggle? What are you looking for? And they'll say, well, more clients, or, you know, I need more money, or I can't get past $40,000. I want to make six figures. And then I delve even further with questions. Well, why do you need that? Well, what do you mean, why do I need it, Jolene? I need it because I have a family to feed. I have a business that I need to grow. And I go even further, and I say to them, what's going to happen if you don't get this? Do you see what I mean? So it's really exploring what they need, and it does one of two things. Yes, it educates me so I know how I can connect what I have with their need, but it's also me holding a mirror up for them because we lie to ourselves. We have programmed responses. If you see me on the street, you're like, oh, hey, Jolene, how's business? Oh, great. I could be falling apart, you know, but that's a programmed response that we have. And so that's typically the programmed responses that people have when we are sitting before them, having a conversation and trying to determine how they can utilize us to guide them. We are resistant to money. You know, we're resistant to pay. We have all these little pockets of cash. We want to use this for this, and we want to use this for this, and we want to use this for this. What we forget is our business, our entrepreneur journey, the thing we are creating, that's the foundation for putting our kids through school, for managing our home, for paying our mortgage. And if that's where the hurt is, we want to go in and delve into someone's pain and find out why it hurts and how we can provide solutions. That was a really long-winded answer.
No, it's a great answer. And you know what's interesting is the surface answers that we usually get when we enter into a conversation are never where the real story is. So we do need to dig down sometimes two, three levels. And I think that, I mean, there's a larger strategy at play that I think a lot of people have gotten away from. And I'm a big fan of teaching people how to slow down the sale, because a lot of people want to go right for the wallet, right for the credit card, just make the sale and move on. But when you slow down a sale, first of all, even the initial sale, or stop trying to sell them your $10,000 item and sell them your $50 item first, let them have some success, then they'll buy the $100 and then the $500, you know, and move your way up, you'll end up having a customer longer, because they're going to experience more success with you than just buying one thing. Anyway, that's kind of a 10,000-foot view, but what you said is really important, Jolene, is that you have to find people's pain, and again, I think that means slowing down the sale, and even if somebody says, you know, I really like what you have, maybe we should get started, and say, well, let's make sure this is right, let me ask you a few more questions. Do you agree with that, about slowing down the sale?
I think you're slowing down the sale, yeah, in my language is serving. It's really listening to what they need. And it's not driving it home to get their credit card number. If you're so focused on just the sale, you're not serving. You're thinking of you. You're not thinking of them. And when I start moving the people I work through, when I start moving them through this technique, at first it's very foreign, because they're so conditioned to the opposite way. We're so conditioned to be resistant. I mean, when people say, I can't afford it, or when they say, you know what, I have to think about this, what they're really saying, Jim, is, you haven't created enough urgency for me to buy from you right now, which means you haven't found where it hurts. I mean, if someone comes to me and they're struggling because they don't know how to close a sale or get clients, I know that's where it hurts, and I know that's where they need growth. And it is within my integrity to say, I have a solution for you. You know, and I think the mistake that a lot of people make is just what you said. They just go right for the solution. You have to be willing. Yeah, I like that. Slow down the sale to explore and talk to them and ask those second and third level questions and find out where the struggle is. Because the bottom line is, it's not about the money. You know, it's about what you can do for them, what your gift or your talent is, and how you can unfold it and show it to them so they see the value of it.
I like that. Why do you think we're so resistant to the close? I mean, most people, as you know well from coaching so many people with sales, like, they're up there and they're all talking about features, and then they're like, they're just so afraid to go for the close. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because we learn early on what the definition of a salesman is. Interestingly, my own coach asked his nephew, who's 10, Kai, when you think of a salesman, what image comes to your mind? And he said, a slimy guy in a funny suit that's just really pushy. This is a 10-year-old kid. So it's, yeah, we learned very, very early on that sales, you know, we should be resistant because people are forceful and people are pushy. So it's programmed within us, as well as our own responses. I mean, think when you walk into a showroom to buy a car. We are already on guard, are we not? You know, like, I'll look at my husband and be like, now, if a guy approaches us, let's be prepared to tell him we're just looking. So even in me, and this is what I do for a living, I have to pull back before I walk in a building and say, okay, I have to remember what this person is doing and what their purpose is and what my purpose is too. So it's something that we truly learn early on. I mean, if I were to ask you, when you think of a salesperson, can you give me three descriptive words that come to your mind?
Pushy.
Yeah.
Well, let me just go with that one. I mean, because I don't want to say the other two that I was thinking of, but I think pushy is probably what a lot of people think about.
Yeah, so that's why, especially women, I work with a lot of women, that's why women are so resistant to sit down and quote what they're worth, or to throw out there and go for the ask, as they say. And really, it's the conditioning that we have. So when I sit down and I start to work with someone, all that gets taken off the table, because that's not what it's about. If someone is in front of you and they need a website built and you know how to do it, a conversation needs to happen. It's plain and simple. You don't go to a doctor and say, my arm is broken, and they're like, well, that person is there to show up for you. You know, that person is there to give you what you need and to serve you. You can go shopping for the right surgeon, you know, but most of the time, it's when you need something, you show up in front of someone. And I mean, I know it's different for a doctor's office because we have insurance and we don't always have to foot the bill, but we all know we've had situations where it's got to come out of our pocket. The bottom line is removing the idea of sale off the table and putting back in place what should have always been there from jump, and that is serving.
Yep. You just have to put people and their needs and pains first, and profits will follow. You know, projection, I think, plays a huge role in closing a sale. And, you know, you just talked about, you know, quoting what you're worth and getting paid what you're worth. Let's talk about that, because I think people place too low of a, especially in a service-based business, they don't price themselves and what they're doing. They price, you know, what I find is, well, I want to ask you your opinion, but I'll give you mine first. I think people, when they're quoting a price, they far too often will think of, okay, what was my cost? Is there a markup? And then how long does it take me? When I tell people they need to price based on the value that you're bringing to your customer, what do you think about that?
I agree 100%. You know, you're not paying, I mean, for me as a coach, sometimes I tell people, you're not paying me for my time. You're paying me for my experience and my skill set and what I do bring to the table. And we do forget that because, just like you said, I think we're conditioned to the markup, and this is what I'm making, and this is this piece, and this is the percentage. I just had a client this afternoon who, what she is supposed to quote, what her price is $500 a month for her product or service. And she freaked out, she said, the second before, and ended up quoting this person $300. And I said, well, what was going on there? And she said, well, she was telling me about this and telling me about that. And, I mean, I could spend 3 hours alone just on the kind of clients we end up attracting because of projection, as you mentioned, because of mindset. If you are thinking, I'm not worth it, or they're not going to pay this, or they don't have the money, you better believe you're going to attract people to you that truly believe that. I use an analogy in a lot of my speaking engagements, using peanut butter. You can attract a client that is a generic peanut butter client, a Jiffy peanut butter client, which is middle of the road, or organic peanut butter. They're all going to buy. They all have to buy something at some point. What my clients discover, and I'm sure you can speak to this too, is, I mean, you can sell to the people that buy generic peanut butter, but they're not going to value what you have as much because they don't value their peanut butter. I want to go after and sell to the people who buy organic peanut butter. They value the service. They value the product. Either way, people are going to buy from you. I think what happens a lot is people say, well, I want to help everybody. And, you know, they need this service too. I'm sure they do, but what happens is you end up selling to these people, they utilize your service, and then they don't value it at all, and they don't show up. They don't honor your time. They buy the product, but they never actually use it. And what happens because of projection is that me, as the individual that has the service, I think, I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough. It's not good enough. And then it becomes this vicious circle. So value is huge, and that it's something we just have to work people through when they struggle with that, is that you have a great product. I discovered early on in my coaching, well, it was probably 4 years in, maybe that's not early on, but I realized all of these big guru coaches that were out there, I started buying their products to experience them and realized mine are just as wonderful. And heck, mine are even better in some areas. And I was resisting and holding myself back because I thought, I don't have that name. I'm not, you know, all over with Facebook ads, and I'm not all over the internet, and I don't have as wonderful a website or as big a team. So I was undervaluing myself because I was attempting to measure myself up against other people, and that's what stops us a lot too.
Absolutely. I can't even believe we're at the bottom of the hour already. This has been a phenomenal conversation. I've totally enjoyed it. You know, I want to give you a chance to share your website or how people can learn more about you, but I want to tell one quick story as we close out on value and positioning. You know, there's a story that goes like this. So this lady's home, or it could be a whole family's home with their children in the winter, and the heater's out, and it's now, you know, it's like 40 degrees in the house, and they call the heater repairman. He comes in, he goes downstairs, he turns a screw, and the heater fires up, and he comes upstairs and gives them an invoice for $300. And they balk and go, $300? All you did is go down there and turn that one screw. So he says, okay, give me the invoice. And he takes the invoice back, and he crosses it out, and he goes, turning one screw $1. Knowing which screw to turn quickly to give you a warm, comfortable home, $299.
So it, I love it.
It really is about the value that you bring, not exactly what you do. So
I love that.
Feel free to use that anytime.
Oh, that's great, Jim.
Well, Jolene, this has been a real pleasure, and I've really enjoyed the conversation. How can my listeners learn more about you?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah, if anybody wants to learn more, I invite them to my website. It's jolenespeaks.com, and my mother got carried away with all of the E's in my name. It's J-O-L-E-E-N, like Nancy, E, speaks.com, and from there you can find me anywhere in the universe, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, so on and so forth. Yeah.
Awesome. Jolene Speaks. So your mother must have been a big fan of Wheel of Fortune. I'll buy a vowel, or whatever that show was.
Apparently.
There you go. Well, thanks a lot. It's been really a fun show. Thank you, Jolene.
Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate it.
Okay, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Jolene Moody. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.